Well, hello, this is Pat Lynch, and this is As the World Turns or Burns. Joining me are...
Kieran O'Keefe.
Brendan Connell.
And behind the board...
Producer Jason.
Yes, of course. And what we're doing is we're doing a lot shorter episodes so that we can do deep dives on a specific topic. What we're going to do right now is Venezuela. I think a few things have been going on in that country, you know, just comes to mind. Terrible joke, falls flat, but I'll keep moving, you know, just, but I don't know, Brendan, start with you, your thoughts in terms of the situation, because it's been a little quiet, you know, we kind of did the extraction, you know, and then it's like we left kind of everybody else kind of in place, and a few things have gone on, but it's not, it's kind of been crowded out of the news because of all these other things, obviously.
Yeah. So in an effort to say something somewhat original, because a lot of people have talked about this topic.
Yeah.
I think there's a human tendency to kind of think in dichotomies of like this event's either good or bad, but more times than not, in any event, there's like a good and a bad part of it.
Right.
And I think this is a good example of that, because I could think about like some good things about the situation and bad things. I guess I'll start with the bad. And unfortunately, I think there's more bad than good. But
yeah.
One, people talk about sort of the erosion of Congress. So this is like yet another example of how you've got a president that is doing things, you know, using the troops, using the military without any sort of congressional authorization. Fair enough. My opinion on that is like it's a little bit of a red herring, because Congress has lost this authority long ago. And it's not just a Trump thing using military force abroad without congressional approval. But okay, it reaffirms that the president's just getting more and more powerful with these commander-in-chief powers vis-a-vis Congress. Second thing is sort of what this means for international law.
Mm-hmm.
The question of like, is this or was this illegal to do, to, you know, kidnap, extract, whatever the, you know, word we want to use, a foreign leader, and now detain them. I think it's very clearly a violation of international law. There's no, I mean, you can't just go and invade a foreign country or go and, you know, kidnap their leader, unless there's some sort of self-defense logic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more, I'm simplifying a little bit, but that's more or less how international law works. That's how, you know, what's in the UN Charter is, you know, you can't use offensive force unless it's in self-defense. I don't buy any of the, you know, arguments on, you know, the U.S. is trying to fight back against fishermen or this threat of...
The threat of narcotics flooding our country and killing our citizens, man.
Yeah. So it's weak. In that sense, there are parallels, I guess, to the incident in Panama a few decades ago. Because I don't know too much about... I had to, like, read up on it a bit and read up on my history. But... Yeah, I think it was another example of how
it was questionable.
It was a questionable sort of, what we did. But okay, nevertheless, probably a violation of international law. And whenever you have these violations of international law, it makes a lot of people question, is international law even effective anymore?
Right.
Probably the worst part of this, though, and this is because I, you know, grew up during Afghanistan war and Iraq war, is whenever something like this happens, there's always like this short window of where you feel like, oh, this was a success and we got rid of Maduro. And of course, there's Venezuelans in the United States that are celebrating this because Maduro is like a terrible dude.
Right.
I think you could say that too, while also recognizing that this was a violation of international law. I think both of those can be true. But, you know, once that window passes, like it's much harder to talk about like an exit plan or exit strategy or what comes next. So that's what worries me here is, are we just doing what we did under the Bush administration, for instance, right? It's like very easy to kind of go and use the US military because we're so big and powerful and, you know, maybe even take out a foreign leader. But what comes next?
Right.
And I guess we're going to find out It seems like, I mean, we don't know for sure, but it just seems like there was insider information and someone within Maduro's circle sort of gave him up, and now it's Maduro 2.0.
Right.
That's kind of what it seems. Is that good? Is that bad? I guess we'll find out. But that's probably what worries me most, I would say, is just, are we potentially going to create another very unstable situation in yet another country?
Yeah.
Let me talk about the good, though, because not enough people are talking about this. Did Trump single-handedly just reestablish U.S. credibility when it comes to making threats? Because for so long, hear me out, for so long, it was like the post-Bush presidency where the U.S. would try to talk tough about doing things. Hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't cross this red line. But no one really believed the U.S. because no U.S. president would ever dare send troops abroad and put troops on the ground.
Okay.
Like, this was like the Obama presidency where Obama would say to, let's say, like Syria, don't use chemical weapons. They use it, and we don't do anything because truly it's like cheap talk.
Right.
You know, we're not truly committed to using U.S. troops. But what Trump has kind of done in his craziness, I think that whenever he makes a threat, including I'm going to invade Greenland, you kind of have reason to believe him now. That is potentially a good thing, because now the U.S. credibility in the eyes of, let's say, our adversaries, you kind of have to second guess and say, hey, if I were to cross a red line that's created by Trump, maybe he actually will do something about it, because he's shown that he's willing to use force. Maybe not an all-out invasion, but he's willing to use force on the margins. So I think that's what's kind of interesting, another thing that shakes up world politics right now.
So I'm seeing the headlines. Dr. Brendan Connell says U.S. using imperialistic force is a good thing.
Is a good thing. That would be the Spark Notes ChatGPT version of it, yes.
No, I guess that, you know, that, he, you know, everybody thinks Trump's just being Trump, and he just talks like tough guy, but I think he's shown, you know, in a lot of things, you know, and, you know, that taco label that kind of they tagged on him last year around the tariffs, and Trump always chickens out. Well, you know, I guess he's starting to show people that, whatever it is he's talking about, you got to take it a whole lot more seriously now. Agree with the exit plan. You know, think about what was the final exit of Afghanistan. That was just pure chaos. Vietnam, pure chaos. You know, I mean, the list goes on, and that's somewhere in the future, you know, in terms of how do we get out of this relationship, you know, the relationship in Venezuela, because it's kind of, you broke, you own it, and it's going to be a mess. It's just going to be a mess. And, you know, tapping into oil, you know, everything I know about oil is from watching Landman, you know, so, you know, if, and, they always talk about, oil needs to be $70 to $85 in order to be making money, good money. And it's right now in the 50s. And what it only can go down by us going and now all of a sudden bringing Venezuelan oil in greater supply, because now all of a sudden you're adding more supply to the market. And so now you're trying to get the oil companies to partner and go in and extract that. There's no, I mean, they'll you know, Exxon will say it's uninvestable. That's kind of like, I think, playing Trump, you know, basically waiting for him to throw money at him to go in and do it, to, you know, kind of help him save face in the situation. But in the end, it's going to be it won't work out economically. It won't work out politically. And then trying to get out of this whole tangled mess, he'll probably just leave that burning bag of poo on the and ring the doorbell for a future president, you know, that, and let them put it out. I couldn't agree more as far as the exit plan. whatever it is, whenever it is, going to be a mess.
Can I just say that getting your facts from Landman, by the way, is probably not a good idea because the show has been like factually disproven multiple times.
Will that stop me? No.
So I just wanted to point that out.
No. Highly
fact checking.
Okay. Highly recommend it though. Very entertaining. Yeah.
If you rewind the clock 20 years, there was the whole, I guess, supposed liberal left-wing conspiracy that went to Iraq for oil.
Yeah.
And now Trump's, we're going to Venezuela for oil. So it's just
the bluntness of it. Yeah.
We're doing it for oil. Nobody on half the political spectrum seems to care, at least. I guess the difference from this in Iraq, obviously, is that we don't have any troops on the ground right now, do we? I don't think we have any in place there. So Trump pretty much left the same regime in power with the vice president? Was that her position prior to Maduro?
Yes.
So the same regime is effectively in power. So I don't know. I mean, I think this is tougher for Congress to criticize than Greenland is, because there is this is a little more ambiguous. I do think it's generally not a good thing to kidnap an international leader on some flimsy drug charges and then bring him back to the U.S. But you see, even there were some Democrats, not a lot, but like John Fetterman came out and was like, "Oh yeah, I supported this. We need to take out these bad guys."
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it's he did get it. The Nobel Prize.
Finally,
there was a victory.
Do you think he's actually going to be like, oh, this is my Nobel Prize? Like, I really earned this? Because everybody knows that it was just given to him.
I wonder if it's in there. Okay, eventually there's going to be the Trump Library. You know, it's going to be this big, beautiful gold building. Okay, the Trump Presidential Library.
With no books in it.
Yeah, no books. Amen. And do you think that his Nobel Prize is going to be there too? I'm pretty sure it will be.
I actually think it's going to be like a full, like, this is never going to be seen by anybody ever again. Like, he's going to like flash it around, but he's going to keep it himself. Like,
yeah, he's promised that Qatari jet, to be there, but he's going to be out there, flying that, and doing whatever it is that he wants to do post presidency. But I could see his Nobel Prize, that in the story about how he ended eight wars and he really deserved this and it came to its rightful owner, and it'll be a beautiful thing.
I don't remember her name, Machado, is her name on it though? Does he need to like cut it out?
Yeah,
that'd be even better.
Unless it's just kind of a generic Nobel Prize. Imagine for like
imagine he just puts a piece of paper over it.
Post it. Oh yeah,
it's like a post-it note.
Yeah, but
maybe.
But he is so like childish. Like that letter he sent to the Prime Minister of Norway was just like, it's hard to even believe that was real.
Yeah,
where it was like, dear Jonas, or I don't know if Jonas or Jonas, I think probably Jonas in Scandinavian pronunciation, but. Because your country did not give me the Nobel Peace Prize. I no longer view peace as my main priority, or something. And it's like random capitalizations throughout the letter. And, he's talking about Greenland and like, Denmark said they had some boats go there, but the U.S. had some boats go there too. So maybe it's just like this lunatic letter, but he was using the Nobel Peace Prize as the lack of getting it as a justification for invading Greenland.
Yeah. And so now, peace just, it's not his thing, It's like, I'm going to go and start doing other things, but...
it's a sign of a good person. I'm only good if you give me rewards for it.
as far as what we did in Venezuela, are there ripple effects in adjacent countries or any part of South America that you see?
Cuba, probably.
Because what's the plan there to cut the financial aid to Cuba off, and then you can kind of starve them out and cripple them economically.
But and it also just shows that like this option's on the table for Cuba as well.
Yeah,
that's at least the possibility of that in the air now.
Yeah,
right. So it kind of goes back to my last point. And not just Latin America, like with what's going on in Iran too. The incumbent regime in Iran has to kind of think about this. Like the U.S. might actually do something now about the protest happening there, which I don't think was in the cards going back 2 years ago and then 2 years before that, because Iran's had plenty of this, violent protest over the years. But this does feel a little bit different because of the Trump presidency, and then given this is happening on the tail end of getting Maduro. I've also seen some people, though, kind of exaggerate how this changes things, and I think an argument out there was like, oh, if Trump's doing this, that means that Putin now is going to say, oh, I'm going to go and just do whatever in Ukraine.
Right.
And it's like, well, he's already doing that, right. So yeah. He didn't need Trump to start a war in Ukraine. So yeah. Sometimes people I notice are kind of exaggerating how this maybe changes things. But certainly for a country like Cuba or Iran, they've got to think about this now and their calculations and kind of how they're behaving.
Do you think they're going to put troops in Venezuela at any point?
No, I still, and I understand I was wrong last semester. Like, I didn't predict this. Yeah. I wouldn't think that this would even happen, but I still stand by Trump can only take it so far before people will turn on him and boots on the ground, especially in Greenland, but I think even in Venezuela would be too much. And it is noted, like, it says a lot that he's actually okay right now with bringing in Maduro 2.0 and just elevating the vice president. Yeah. I think the goal here is just, we want oil, we're going to bring in U.S. companies. To do that, you need a stable regime.
Yeah.
That means you probably don't want democracy. You want to just keep a stable regime and people you trust, and they're just more friendly to the U.S. than Maduro was. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, just old-fashioned corruption. You keep, you know, let them get rich and mm-hmm. just leave us alone so that we can do business and everything will be good.
And that's one of the big differences between Trump and Bush. Bush, I mean, obviously Bush was actually occupying countries in a way Trump is not to this point. But with the Bush administration, there's always that veneer that, like, we're doing this to get rid of a dictator, we're bringing in democracy, we're going to help create democracy in the Middle East. That was always a stated goal, and I think there was truth, and not that there weren't any ulterior motives either, but I do think the Bush administration genuinely wanted to be able to create democracies in the Middle East, although that obviously did not work out all that well, and in Afghanistan resulted in the same people coming back to power again when we were all out of there in 2021. But Trump just, it's no, there's no veneer. This is just very transactional. Right. What do we get out of this? We need something. There's no broader ideological imperative. There's no moral impulses, foreign policy. Yeah. It's just real politic in a way, going back to the 19th century.
Do you think that he's going to be able to generate enough corporate interest to get them involved in Venezuela?
Well, there was the Exxon Mobil guy who said they weren't going to go in there because Venezuela's just been such an unreliable place to get oil from for so long, where, like, different governments have seized their assets, and then
all
Trump
the
got
equipment's outdated, you know,
and Trump got mad at him and was like, oh, well, we're not gonna let you go there anymore, or whatever he said.
Because
he wasn't happy with that comment. So I don't know enough about, like, the corporate view of Venezuela to say, but is he, the ExxonMobil guy, didn't seem like he was interested.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, the mess that they created. I think that somewhere they're going to do some sort of state sponsored capitalism, you know, where in order to prove himself right, he's going to have to financially incentivize the oil companies, you know, we'll cover you, or we'll give you something to get them the financial incentive to go in there and start to replace all the old equipment and start to extract. And this is where possibly boots on the ground come in. If it's like, okay, what's really stopping them from doing this? It's that, you know, basically had their assets seized twice. So, you know, now you have to give some guarantee that we will cover you, because, you know, they just don't want to end up having, you know, billions of dollars invested and it disappears again. That's just stupid. They're looking for more reliable, you know, less risky investment. So there's going to have to be some sweetheart deal, I think, in the making to make that happen, which then there'll be an uproar and it won't be popular, but then they'll find some rationalization and it'll be a mess.
typically how it's done too is you have what's called a bilateral investment treaty. There's like tons of these in the world nowadays. They're actually sometimes embedded in free trade agreements. But that would be, right, like one solution is just you send U.S. troops, you have them protect U.S. investments. To me, that's very costly, though, and has a lot of risk involved.
Right.
I think more than likely, like, if this was to be done by Trump, it would be some sort of investment treaty between us and the new Venezuelan regime. And in that treaty, it would have a bunch of kind of guarantees committing to what the Venezuelan government can or can't do to U.S. assets within its territory. Right. And if Venezuela were to break that contract, then looming in the background is, again, this threat of, well, maybe I will then send in the U.S. military. Right. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a signing of a bilateral investment treaty, and you know Trump will be holding it up with his signature, and he could claim this as a yet another victory.
Yeah. Prediction, December 31st, what will be the state of Venezuela?
It's really hard to say. I'm going to say that the same regime that's in power now is in power then.
Yeah.
Yes. Same regime that we have now. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised again if there's like some sort of new treaty or something between the current regime now and Trump.
So. Yeah, I'm leaning that way too. There's he's got to make this a win. You know, he's the ultimate deal maker. This has to be. You know, they got to get something in the plus column. You know, okay, you got rid of the bad guy, great. But now if you just let it just stand at its current way, it'll open himself up to criticism. Plus, it'll open us up to who knows what. You know, there's a lot of different rebel factions throughout the country that could stir up who knows what. So there's going to have to be some way to get that in there to get, if it was about oil, now you got to find a way to get the oil. And whatever that is, I got a feeling by the end, they'll have some great announcement of this massive investment in the glorious future of low cost gasoline for us is in the future. So, all right. Well,
easy takes. No, it's not good for viewership. You got to say like Cauchy bet like 1% nuclear bomb dropped on Venezuela by December 31st.
Well, okay. Well,
what are the chances?
I'll give you the hot take that I think you're dead wrong on blasting the factuality of Landman. How's that?
What does Kelsey say about that?
I think I'm going to trust if Billy Bob says that this is what oil needs to be in order to make money. I'm going to trust him. Okay, so that's it. All right. Well,
I take umbrance though. We're not clickbait here. I mean, we're just the no spin zone. We're the truth.
Yeah, we're the no fun zone. I get it.
Oh goodness.
This
is our producer here.
We might have to get a classified out
for
another producer.
I will have a trail. I will have an internet trail. What's that thing called? Your whatever trail? I don't remember, but
Trail of tears.
Yeah, they'll look back on everything I've ever done when I run for president.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Well, he said this.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of As the World Turns or Burns. So I'll say goodbye.
See you later.
Take care.
And Jason.
See ya. Yeah.
Jason, a.k.a. Hot Take.
A.k.a. Bomb Dropper.
A Bomb Dropper, but we'll catch up with you the next time.
This podcast is sponsored in part by Lion College and Kilt Studios. Thank you to Jonah Winter for the intro and outro music.